Hey man, let's open to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And we're just going to stop right there. Father, thank you so much this morning for your wonderful, precious word. Thank you that the entrance of your word gives light and brings understanding to the simple. Lord, we thank you for the light of your word. Father, we thank you for revelation, for understanding, for a quickening of these words in our lives today, Lord, that they wouldn't just be a word on a page, but Lord, that they would be real to us, become real to us, so that we can take ownership of them, so that we can walk them out. Thank you, Lord God, that you enlighten our hearts, that you enlighten our minds. Thank you, Father, for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given to us so that we can grasp these as realities, as our realities. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we started looking at this a couple weeks ago. We'll just pick up where we left off sort of last week. We were looking at Psalm 103. And looking at some aspects of Psalm 103. Of course, this is a wonderful passage of scripture to confess. This is just a wonderful personal confession. Many times as I'm driving down St. Paul Avenue on my way to work, those couple mornings that I work, this is what I'm confessing. I love this passage of scripture. I just love it. It's just such a wonderful, sweet, precious, precious, memorializing, I guess, of what the Lord has done for us. And I love what he says. He's forget not all his benefits. Do you know how easy it is to forget the benefits of God? It's so easy to forget those things. It's so easy when we're in the midst of a difficult thing, when we're facing a physical challenge of some kind. You know, when you're really sick, now I'm not talking about the sniffles or something. That's an inconvenience. But when you really get hit with something and it hits you fast and hard, it's real easy to forget the benefits. Because you're so caught up with how bad it feels and how, and all the thoughts that go through the mind of what this might be and, you know, where this could go and what it could lead to, those types of things. It's very easy for the benefits to kind of slip. The memory, the thoughts of the benefits to slip. And that word there, forget, is just interesting. It just means to be, to be, I forget what, I forgot to write it down this time, but I've taught this a number of times, but it's just talking about to be neglectful of it. You know, basically it's like you neglect where, how many of you are famous for losing your car keys? And we have kids that, our kids are always losing their car keys. It's like, how can you lose your car keys? Don't you just put them in the same place all the time? I have a little spot in my purse where they go every time. That is where I know they're going to be. You know, I'm not neglectful of my car keys. Well, sometimes we're just neglectful of these truths of God's word. We're just neglectful of them. And I think the main way we're neglectful of them is by not keeping them in our mouth. We don't keep them in our mouth. We don't keep them on our lips. We don't continually speak them to ourselves. Because you know what? As you know, you've heard us say this, sickness, when sickness is working against our body, it's working 24/7. And 365. Amen. And you know what? Sickness doesn't take times off. It doesn't take breaks. Life-threatening diseases do not take breaks. They do not take days off. They do not go on vacation, but we do. And sometimes we just think, well, I'll be fine. We need to keep these things in our mouths consistently, on our lips consistently, in our minds consistently. Just prayer, you know, prayerfully praying over these things so that the Holy Spirit can show us what we need to see in these passages of scripture. So he says, forget not these things. Don't forget the benefits. And not just some, but all of them. Because eventually you're going to need them. You know, you have a job. Most of you that are working outside of your home, you have a job and maybe you have a benefits package that came along with your job. And you may use some of the benefits more than others. But there'll come a time when you may need to use all of them. It's good to know what your benefits are, isn't it? It's good to be familiar with what the benefits package that your employer provided you with. It's good to know what your dental coverage is or what your health insurance coverage is. Some of you may have disability insurance. It's good to know that so that you can't be taken advantage of. And that's what the enemy tries to do, is he tries to take advantage of us. And that's where we go down further here, where it says the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. For all that are oppressed. And it's not He's not oppressing people. He is for the oppressed. So, you know, when you get into your comments or your conversations and debates with people that want to argue with you about God did this, God is using this, oh, God picked a rose, you know, the things we hear people say about death, early death and things like that. Pull this out. No, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And this word oppressed is an interesting word. It means to take by extortion. Isn't that how the devil works? He takes by extortion. He loves to steal, to kill. I mean, that is his main mode of operation, is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And it's to take by extortion, to take, which an extortion is to take by use of threats. You know, you're going to give me that or else. This is what I'm going to do. And the devil does, that's how exactly how he works. It means to crush, to defraud, and to defraud means to deprive by dishonest means. Isn't that how the devil steals from us, by dishonest means? He'll come along and he'll tell you, you've got to have this. This is in your family. You know, or you've got to have this because you're getting old now. You know, I have to be so careful because I hear people confessing that. I'm getting old. And I have to be so careful because I want to jump on that like a frog on a fly. I hear people say that stuff all the time. Now, yes, you know, aging is part of this life that we're living right now. Thank God there's a day coming when it will never happen anymore. But do we have to sign on for that? Do we have to sign on for all the old age stuff? Do we have to sign on to lose our minds and to have everything breaking down and failing? No, I don't see that. You know, I don't see that belongs to us. People, I love to go back and look at Moses, what it said about Moses, that his eyesight was not dim, nor was his strength abated. And of course, then you'll have the one, we'll say, well, that was because he saw God face to face and he spent time in the presence of God. Hello? We have God living inside of us. It's much better than face to face. So we have something much better than Moses had. So God executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Let's just look at this again for a few minutes here. The word execute means to do something. It's not talking about, you know, when you think about the word execute, you think about off with her head, you know, that kind of thing. That's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about off of somebody's head. This is talking about God accomplishing or doing something for us. So God executes righteousness. This is talking about right, what's right. God does right by us, is really what this is saying. He does right by us because of what Jesus did. That's what this is telling us. He always does right by us. To make somebody sick or to use sickness to teach, or to punish using sickness or disease or early death or any of those things is not righteousness. That's not God doing right according to what Jesus has done. He executes righteousness. He does right. The word righteousness means it's a moral or ethical standard. God does what is right. So when you see, you know, people want to say, well, God did this or God allowed this, that is not right. Would it be right for a father to allow his daughter to be attacked and taken advantage of, to teach her something? Would this natural legal system, would it say that was okay? No, it's not right. Well, that, you know, we always want to go back to natural human relationships. What about a natural father? How would a natural father deal with his children? You know, a sick father would hurt his children or try to teach them through physical suffering. Not a loving, caring, healthy father. So the Lord executes, does right. He does righteousness and judgment. This word judgment, again, is not the word, like, it's not the word judgment in a sense of some kind of punishment. This word judgment, it means a verdict. It's a verdict. Now, it could be an unfavorable verdict as well as a favorable verdict, but we know the verdict for us is favorable because someone already took the unfavorable verdict on our behalf. So we never have to pay for our sins. Now, again, I always have to try to balance this out in such a way that people don't understand that they do have natural responsibility for their life. You know, if we continue to do foolish things, spend foolishly, live foolishly, treat our bodies like they're never going to wear out. You know, are abusive towards our own physical bodies. We eat wrong. We don't sleep enough. We, you know, we're just abusive. We're not good stewards. Let's say that. We're not a good steward ever. There's going to be a reaping of that. But you know, God loves us so much. He created us with a body that if we treat it right, it repairs itself. So to me, that is God's blessing. God's enormous blessing on us if we'll take care of ourselves and if we'll repent and turn things around and start dealing righteously with our finances and all these natural things, we can turn that around. We can have a crop failure. Instead of reaping what we sow, we can have a crop failure. We can see it turned around. But you know, a lot of times people are believing God for healing, but they continue to do all the wrong things, eat all the wrong things, not get enough sleep, think they can sit on and be a couch potato all the time and have good health. You know, God made these bodies to move and be active and to be fed well. And He gave us our bodies. We're to be good stewards over these bodies. Isn't that right? It's a stewardship issue. But as far as God is concerned, as far as this vertical relationship goes, we've been vindicated. We have been vindicated. Someone else, there was a favorable verdict that had been given on our behalf because of what Jesus did for us. He took our place. He took our punishment. Everything we deserved, He took. So when you know, and I know most of you understand this and believe this way, but sometimes we need to have some things in our arsenal when it comes to sharing with others. When you hear somebody say something, you know, and you hear it, it just amazes me sometimes the things that I hear come out of people's mouths. That I want to say, if your natural father had treated you as a child that way, what would you have thought? Now, why would you? You know, we need to be bold enough to challenge people's beliefs. Why? Because it might mean their life. It might mean an early death for them. It might mean the death of a child. I just was talking with somebody here just yesterday, and they have a family member that's dying in the hospital with cancer, and I said, well, how are they doing? Well, they believe in healing. You know, God can heal them. And so basically what they're saying is they're putting it all off on God. Now, whether this person survives or doesn't survive, it's all in God's hands. So they may believe in healing, but they only believe part of the benefits. They don't understand how that part of their benefits package works. They don't understand they have to apply themselves just as like you would if you went to your doctor and you had to have some procedures done, some tests or something, screenings. Wouldn't you have a part to play in that? I mean, besides showing up at the doctor's office, you would have some part to play in that when it comes to your insurance. You would have to go to your insurance company and you would have to submit, I think, or you would have to submit some kind of forms. The doctor's office would work with you. They would submit some kind of form, some kind of claim on your benefits. And if you understand your benefits package, some people don't, so they don't know what they're entitled to. We're entitled. We are entitled to all that was purchased for us. And precious few Christians are taking advantage of that. Part of which is just walking in divine health. Not just having to believe your way out of a sick place or out of some kind of oppression, but walking in divine health. That belongs to us. And as when I started this a few weeks ago, I was sharing, it's like being in a court case and just as in a court case, the burden lies on the prosecution to prove the guilt of the person being tried. Well, that is so like what we deal with when it comes to sickness and disease, because the devil has to try to prove to you that you're sick, and all he's got is circumstantial evidence. And that's all he has to use against us is circumstances. That's all. That's the only thing he has. He make you feel a certain way. First, it'll come as a thought. You know, when the cold tries to come on, how many times does that happen in the season? You know, you just start to feel, you know, that old feeling, that just like, What do you do at a time like that? What do you do? Well, most people, what they do, they sit down in the examining room with somebody who's grilling them, and they sign a confession. They sign the confession. Forget it. You don't even need to go to court then. You've already signed your confession. And that's what most Christians do. Oh, I feel like I'm getting a cold. Or they'll post it on Facebook. They'll post all their symptoms on Facebook. I Christians do this. They post all their symptoms on Facebook. And then one tiny little last sentence, thank God I'm healed. It's like, spend the whole time thanking God for your healing and tell the devil he's a liar. I think a lot of that is just attention stuff anyway. I'm sorry, but I think it's just, hey, somebody tell me I'm okay. But do you see how silly this is? It's so foolish. We just confess it. We just sign for it. We just take it. No, what we need to do right away, immediately, the minute symptoms come, we know what the Bible says. Resist them, what? From the onset. Resist them. That means actively stand against them from the minute. That doesn't mean go to bed, take your pills and go to bed, does it? It means stand up against it. Man, that's a good thing to teach kids. It's a good thing to start teaching kids from a small age how to resist sickness. You know, we don't just give into it. We don't play into it. We know it works because we've done it. We have all done it to some degree, form or fashion, but we can be doing this across the board. We don't have to give in. Amen. We don't have to give in and surrender to sickness. So it says the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He has already handed down a favorable verdict for you. So when sickness tries to get on your body, you can say, I've been vindicated. I've been vindicated. I've already been cleared of this. Jesus already bore this. I refuse to accept this in my physical body. See, you have a legal precedent to stand against sickness, to stand against symptoms. It's a legal precedent. This is not just, wouldn't it be nice? Or wouldn't it be convenient? No, we have a legal, according to the courts of heaven, the courts of the universe, we have a legal precedent to resist sickness, to stand against it, because this has already been visited upon someone else who already suffered through it, already paid the price, for the whatever caused it, whatever was at the root cause of this. If it was something that, you know, you let yourself get stressed and or you got into some unforgiveness or some of those things. See, a lot of times that's what people do. The symptoms will come on and they'll start digging. Oh, what did I do? Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got in strife with somebody yesterday. So they just excused it to be in their life. They just said, okay, I understand why this is here because I got into some unforgiveness. Now, you know, don't get an unforgiveness. The minute you catch yourself in unforgiveness or in strife with someone or you're getting stressed or you're getting anxious about things, repent. Amen. Just repent. Don't wait until some symptoms start showing up. You know, and of course, sometimes that doesn't happen at all. You know, the devil was off somewhere else, busy with someone else and didn't catch us. But, you know, don't start digging, looking for the justification for why this is going on in your life. Don't start digging for justification. Just claim that I've already been exonerated. I've already been cleared. Why? Because someone else took my place. Someone else served my time, my term for me. Somebody already took my place in this. So the Lord does this for all that are oppressed. And we know what oppression is. God isn't the oppressor, is he? When people say that God caused sickness or God uses sickness to teach or he uses calamity or he uses early death, or they're saying God is the oppressor. I think that's like right up there akin to blasphemy. Yeah. I do. I believe that's as close to blasphemy as God is not an oppressor. He's a deliverer. Isn't he always referred to as a deliverer? He's a deliverer. He is not the oppressor. It's the enemy that oppresses. And how does he do that? He extorts, again, he defrauds through dishonest means. He comes to try to take our health, our money. He comes to try to take our peace of mind, our sense of security, our sense of well-being. He comes to try to destroy marriages, ultimately to take lives. That's how he works. You know, we have to draw a line in the sand and decide what we're going to settle for, what we're going to allow in our lives, what we're going to put up with. You know, the reason so often we say, well, you know, God allowed that. No, we allow it. We're the one that put up with this stuff. And we had a discussion about this the other morning. Well, what about little children? They didn't allow it. Well, you're responsible for little children. If there's a little child in your life, you're the one who's responsible for that child until they're able to be responsible for themselves. You know, we've told you when our kids were little, there was a time Jennifer got very, very sick. We were really baby, like infant believers, but we knew just enough to be dangerous. And she had, I don't remember if it was chicken pox or what it was, but she had a horribly high fever. I mean, she was just on fire. And I can remember going into her bedroom and something rose up on the inside of me. All I could say, it was like rage. And I, because I knew, you know, we were taught at that time, we were already in a church that was teaching, you know, who, good God, bad devil. And I knew right away, this is not God. This is not right. How did, I was just, there was like a rage in me, and I laid hands on her and I commanded that fever, and I felt that fever go from under my hands. Now, she was too young to be responsible for herself. She wasn't allowing anything. Now, as a parent, if I had just quick whisked her up, forgotten the benefits and taken her off to the doctor, yes, the doctor could have treated symptoms. But I was the one responsible to go after the root of that thing and to go after what was at the root of it. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. You know, we need to be responsible and do what we can to take care of our kids. But we should be teaching them from the youngest age possible how to resist sickness. That we don't just cave to it. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, you know. And then the parent, oh, honey, do you feel this? Yeah. Oh, honey, are you sick to your stomach? Yeah. Oh, honey, do you have a headache? Oh, honey. And then we start going through all the symptoms that they might have. That's not resisting it. That's not teaching them how to resist. Now, am I saying we neglect them? No, we want to ease discomfort, things like that. But so often we just go through the checklist that the enemy has rather than our benefits checklist. So the devil is the oppressor. God's not the oppressor. And that's a real easy argument to use with people that believe that other way. And you all know, because we've all run across the paths of those people, there are a lot of people that believe God's the oppressor. They would never say that. They would never use those words, that he's an oppressor. But by what they're saying, they're describing an oppressor. To say that God caused this, or that God's using this, or that God allowed this, they're saying God's the oppressor. So we need to have our doctrine straight. God is not the oppressor. God executes righteousness. He does right for the oppressed. And it's for all the oppressed. And how did he do that? You know, we don't have to wait around for God to do something good for the oppressed. God's already done for the oppressed. He's already moved on behalf of the oppressed. Amen. It's already a done deal. We've got to stop thinking of ourselves as the sick trying to get well. We've got to think of ourselves as the well that our sickness is trying to be taken from us. That's really the real way of looking, the real proper perception that we should be having. So God is not the oppressor. The enemy is the oppressor. God has already decreed at the cross, after Jesus was resurrected and raised up, God declared victory for all that were oppressed. All that were oppressed. Not just for a few, not just for some, but for all that are oppressed. Remember I said last week, it's like a class action suit. Healing is not just an individual case by case type of thing. It's like a class action suit. It was the kingdom of God bringing suit against the kingdom of the enemy, and every one of us that had been affected by sickness, disease, oppression of any kind can get in on that suit if we want in. If we want to opt in and get in on that and get the benefits of it, of that legal suit, we can. But you have to decide. You can't say one time I'm going to give in to it and the next time I'm going to resist. It's just as important that you resist the little common cold. I say this to people all the time. If you don't deal with the little things and get some muscle, develop some of your muscles, your resistance muscles, if you don't do that, then you're never going to be able to handle the bigger ones when they come. Let's work on the little sniffles when they come. Let's just not, oh, I'll just go to the drugstore and get some medicine. It's just no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. You're developing resistance. You're developing your ability to resist. Amen? I mean, this stuff, some people say, well, it's just, you know, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a real big deal. You know, how many people can just go and when you go and start pressing weights, how many people can just immediately begin with 100-pound weights? Well, if they try that, what's it going to do? They're going to get hurt. They're going to injure something. That's what happens with people. They think, well, I could take on cancer. I could take on this life-threatening illness if it came against me. They can't even pick up little 2-pounders yet. They can't even press little 2-pound weights. I mean, that's silly, but you know what I'm saying? We have to start with the little things. Which is, I think it even goes back farther than before the sniffles come. It's the thought that comes when the first little symptom, and we all know what that symptom feels like. Has anybody here never had a cold? So you all know what those first little, there's just that little nasty little something that's there. That's the 1 pound weight. It's a thought that accompanies that. There's a little thought there that's the little 1 pounder. It's like, okay. No, in Jesus' name, by his stripes, I'm healed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He heals. He forgives. I'm cleared. Somebody else already took this. You start right there. You start working with that little 1 pound. Pretty soon, next time you feel like you're going to throw up. Okay, you feel like you're going to, you know, all the different words there are for that. You feel like you're going to vomit. You know how many, they go in and they hug the porcelain throne and they just lay in there for half an hour or less waiting for the event. No, start resisting the minute you start feeling it. Amen? That's a little bigger weight, just a little bit bigger thing to resist. But we have to start immediately from the onset. And sometimes it's just a thought. It's just a little bit of a nagging thought. Oh, you know what? Everybody at the office has got this. Start right there. No, that shall not come nigh me. Shall not come nigh me. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to be so practical in this. And why can we do that? Because the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God has already done right by us. He's already passed a favorable verdict. We already have a legal precedent for this. This belongs to us. This isn't something we have to prove to anybody. This case has already been settled and tried, and it's already legal precedent in the courts of heaven. Amen. Doesn't mean the devil won't take cheap shots. Doesn't mean he won't try. Any more than there's pockets of resistance in the Middle East right now. They're still fighting in areas where we supposedly won these skirmishes and battles. He's going to keep trying to take cheap shots. Why? Because he's a liar. And that's how he works. He works through lies. He works through trying to bring symptoms against us. But, you know, almost always does it start right here. You know, it just right here, it just starts there. And if we don't resist that from the onset, if we don't use our mouths in the right way, don't sign a confession that you're sick. Use your mouth to confess the verdict that was handed down. We need to know. We need to know what belongs to us. Amen. We need to stop there so that we can.
Can I give a really quick prayer before?
Sure.
Yeah. And I told a couple other people this, but I grew up, my dad had skin cancer all the time, a lot of episodes of it. He always told me, because I'm fair, my sons are fair, there, you're going to have skin cancer. I never took that. But a couple weeks ago, one of my little freckles here, I was brushing stuff on there, and it was very dark. And I just didn't think anything about it, so that's weird. Next day it was even darker, and it had like red around it, and my first thought was, well, there's that skin cancer, I better call. My friend Lori works for a dermatologist. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that, but I didn't do anything else. And the next day it was, I just was like, and I just laid my finger on it, said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Didn't think another thing about it, and a few days later it's like, oh yeah.
Praise God. See, from the onset.
I've taken a picture because yeah. I just have,
yeah.
You know, but I have.
But it's that's a personal victory.
Yeah.
You developed some resistance by doing that. You know, and every time we do that, we're strengthening, I don't want to say strengthening our faith muscles, because your faith will always work. But I think it's developing resistance muscles. There's resistance muscles that we're developing, and our ability to resist the devil becomes better and better, resisting symptoms and it could come in any form. It could come in the form of financial attacks. It could come, past pastor's been talking about assignments, you know, just learning how to resist the assignments that the enemy uses against you so that you're not defeated. You don't lay down and play dead. All right.